Do you ever get frustrated when you pray? That there's a situation that does not seem to change. You've prayed and prayed. You've put into operation all the principles of faith that you know. You're pretty convinced that you really are believing God and trusting God to resolve the situation. And yet, nothing happens. Nothing changes. And if you know the Word of God, you know that He says that we will receive whatever we ask in prayer if we believe. Amen. And so if we ask and don't see the results that we need to see, we come to the conclusion that we just don't have the faith to see the victory, the resolution, the outcome we need to see in that particular situation. What we're actually faced with is that our faith seems inadequate to meet that particular need. We know that nothing is impossible for God. We know that He is able to undertake in any situation. Yet we are faced with that inevitable conclusion. Well, even if I draw upon all the resources of faith that I have, it just doesn't seem enough to get the job done. Anybody identifying with what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like everybody?
Yep.
Now, Jesus said, didn't He, when people came to Him, according to your faith, it will be done to you. As you believe, so let it be.
Amen.
Your faith has made you well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There is this tremendous emphasis on faith. And then when Jesus is teaching the disciples about faith, He says, all you need is a little grain of seed. And when we've sort of gathered together all our resources of faith, and we don't see the outcome we need, then along comes Jesus and says, well, you don't need a lot of faith. You just need this little mustard seed. He must be talking about something different from what we imagine faith to be. James, in his letter, says this in Chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Now, that is true of wisdom. It's the particular subject that James is talking about at this, in this context. But it's also a spiritual principle that God gives generously without finding fault. Now, you know the temptation when we're praying about something and we don't see the immediate resolution, we tend to look at ourselves. We tend to think, well, what is wrong? Is there something wrong with me? Is there something wrong with that God needs to sort out before I can see the resolution to this healing need or whatever it is? But here, you see, James is saying something else. No, God gives generously and without finding fault. So, if we want to see the resolution of situations by faith, there's no point in looking at ourselves and trying to find fault. Because God gives, you see, by His mercy and His grace. He doesn't wait until everything is perfect in our lives before He's ready to bless us and to give whatever it is that we need to receive through his grace. But then James goes on to say, but when he asks, when the believer asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. So James is obviously agreeing with Jesus that when we ask, it must be with faith. So presumably with this little tiny mustard seed of faith. Now, what's Jesus talking about? You know that he came with the gospel of the kingdom of God. And he teaches us to pray, may your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the kingdom, of course, is not a place. Jesus said, you can't say it's over here or over there. But the kingdom of God is within you. The rule and the reign of God is inside of you, if you're a believer. And in many of these parables that Jesus taught about the kingdom of God, he uses these examples of seed, like, for example, the sower went forth to sow his seed. And the seed clearly there refers to the word of God. And of course, however fruitful that seed is going to be depends upon the type of soil into which it's sown. Jesus is talking not about your faith, but his faith. You only need a tiny little seed of his faith. Now, do you have his faith? Well, if you're a born-again, spirit-filled believer, then you know that Christ is in you.
Amen.
The hope of glory.
Amen.
If Christ is in you, his faith must be within you.
That's right. Amen.
So what's the problem? The problem is we're trying to use our faith instead of realizing our faith runs out. It's limited in its capacity and ability. But nothing is impossible with his faith. So perhaps it would be more sensible to say, Lord, you know my heart. You can see that I'm struggling in this situation. I'm trying to believe, but really I'm not in that place of faith. I need your faith. Now, that faith must be within you if Christ is in you. And if you've received the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit is within you. And Paul talks about the spirit of faith. So the Holy Spirit is the spirit of faith. See, I wonder if when you're in those situations, whether you say, Lord, I need your faith. I need your spirit of faith. And then when Paul is talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians, one of those gifts is the gift of faith. Now, if God gives generously and without finding fault, he's surely willing to give you that gift of faith whenever you need it. But like all the gifts of God, we have to appropriate them. It's like, you see, having all this, I mean, I expect most of you are more familiar with computers than I am, but it's like having all this material in your computer, or possible for your computer to download, but you have to download it before you can use it. And this is it, you see, we have to spiritually download the faith of Jesus, download the spirit of faith, download this gift of faith. And that will take us into another dimension of faith. But it requires being humble enough, honest enough with God, to say, Lord, you know I'm struggling in this situation. You know, rather like the man who said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. We don't want to be double-minded people that are going from one thing to another. So you have the faith of Jesus within you. You have the spirit of faith available to you. The gift of faith can be yours. All that is like this little seed of the kingdom. Now, I could have a seed in my hand. Let's say a big seed, an acorn. Acorn is just a seed, isn't it? Now, potentially in my hand is an oak tree. And that oak tree can reproduce thousands of acorns. But while it remains in my hand, it won't produce anything. In other words, it has to be sown. And as Pastor Jonathan was saying just now, whatever we sow will depend upon what we're able to reap. So there's no use having the faith of Jesus within us because Christ is in us, or having that gift of faith or the spirit of faith because the Holy Spirit is within us, unless we sow the seed. God's purpose for every one of his children is growth and reproduction. The very first thing that he says to mankind is, go forth and multiply. This is God's purpose. Even Jesus, when he came in his humanity, it says that he grew, he increased in stature and in favor with God and man. Even Jesus shared our humanity, came just as a child, and he had to see the increase taking place in his life. So God wants to see that increase in our lives personally. He wants to see increase in this church. He wants to see increase in his purposes in the city here. So we're not going to see increase without sowing. So that raises the question, well, what do we sow? We must sow in faith, because if we don't sow in faith, we're like that double-minded man who is unstable in all his ways and cannot expect to receive anything from God. So what is the seed that we sow? If we're to pray with faith, if we're to pray with the faith of Jesus, what are we actually sowing? Well, in Scripture, the Word of God is seed. The sower went forth to sow the seed. So we're sowing the Word. Now, let me... I'm not a great horticulturalist, but I can understand one or two rudimentary things about gardening. If I plant a seed, I've got to leave it. Not dig it up and plant it again. And again. And again. So, if I'm praying for the same thing again and again and again, it's like planting the seed, but digging it up and planting it again, and digging it up and planting it again, so it can never reproduce. Nothing can grow, and there can't have any fruit come out of it. So, if I'm sowing the seed of the word, obviously, as James says and as Paul says, we sow, and Jesus says, we sow in faith. So, I pray for the particular situation, and it's no use me then praying that same thing again and again and again, because that only demonstrates, well, I didn't believe it the first time I prayed it, and I didn't believe it the second time I prayed it, and I didn't believe it the third time I prayed it, which is why I keep praying the same thing. Hello?
Yeah.
So what I need to do if I've sown a seed is to water it. Not to keep sowing, digging it up and sowing it again. I just need to water it. You see, if I've sown the word, God watches over his word to perform it.
Amen.
But if I keep digging it up, he can't perform it. Did I come to the right meeting here?
Amen.
So, okay. Now, what am I going to water it with? Well, if I've sown the seed with faith, I'm going to water it with thanksgiving.
Yes. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah.
So you see, Jesus teaches us to persevere in prayer and not to give up. But we're not digging up the seed and praying it again and again and again. We're watering it with thanksgiving because we believe that when we first prayed that prayer, God heard us. And John said, if we know that he hears us, we know that we receive from him whatever we ask.
Amen.
So if we're going to be people of faith, we will sow the word.
Yeah.
Now, the scripture also talks about money being seed. We've just received the tithes and the offerings. Well, the tithe belongs to the Lord, but the offering is seed that we sow. But whenever we give, we should give with faith, not out of duty. Huh?
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
I mean, we know the tithe belongs to the Lord, but we're not giving out of duty. Yeah. We're giving out of love, and we're giving out of faith. And what we're doing is we're sowing seed, expecting growth, increase, reproduction. Because, you see, you let that money go. It's no longer yours. It's given to God for the work of his kingdom, ultimately. But how that money is used has got nothing to do with you, because it's now in the Lord's hands, and it's for him to deal with it and to use it as he chooses. When you give something, you no longer have the ownership of it. So, God is clear in his word that if we sow abundantly, we're going to reap abundantly. That's true when we sow the word in prayer. It's true when we give of our finances. So, you can pray with faith here, both personally and corporately, for the increase that God wants to bring in the church. You can be faithful in the giving of your to the Lord financially, believing that as you do that, he will give you the increase, and of course the work of the church will be able to prosper. However, You see, if you sow an orange seed, now this might be too deep for you, so just pray for a spirit of revelation here. If you sow an orange seed, you're not going to get an apple tree. I'm just pausing to let this amazing revelation sink into your hearts. Because the nature of the seed will determine whatever grows from it. So if you sow faith in the Word of God, you are going to become a greater person of faith. As you leave that seed where it is, keep watering it with thanksgiving, and letting God do whatever is necessary to bring you to the fulfillment of that, whether it's something that happens speedily, whether it's something that happens over a period of time, because God answers prayer in both those ways. When you give, you can have the expectation that God is going to prosper you, honor you. Ever since my wife and I began to tithe, we have never, ever had a financial need. Because if you're faithful in giving to God, He is faithful in giving to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Now, when Jesus said that, you see, he was proving what James was to say later, that He's a God who gives abundantly. You get an abundance back. You sow a seed and you get a harvest.
Yeah.
Of whatever it is you've sown. Yeah. Thousands of acorns. Yeah. A whole tree full of apples or oranges or whatever. Many times what you've sown. Now, there's also another way in which the scripture speaks of seed. I take it that you would all like to see this church grow. That you would like to give God the increase.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know that that depends upon Jesus. Because He doesn't tell us to build the church. He says He will build the church.
Amen.
Our job is to preach the gospel of the kingdom.
Amen.
And He will build the church.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Amen.
Now, if the church is to grow, here's another great revelation for you. Are you ready? That means there will be more people. Isn't that right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not too deep?
No.
No, more people. So how do you get more people? See, the only way is for the people that are here to sow their lives.
Yes, that's right.
That's good.
You see, you don't attend a service. You're not part of a religious group of people. Isaiah talks about sowing our lives. Why? Because in sowing your life, that will cause many other lives. Not just people come into the church, but to come into the kingdom. Because what we want to see is more and more unsaved people coming to know Jesus and receiving the gift of eternal life. Now, you see, the devil does everything he can to try to persuade Christians not to sow their lives. Because he knows that if they do, there's going to be increase in the kingdom of God and in the church, and the devil does not want that. So you know what it's like, especially in these modern days, you get people going from church to church, from place to place. They never sow their lives. Because they don't really understand what God's purpose for His church is. You see, the church doesn't exist for you, does it? The church is the one institution that exists in the world that exists for those that are not its members. Not for those that are its members. So we sow our lives for the benefit of all those who at present are not believers even, who are still out there in the world, lost, living under condemnation, with all kinds of unmet needs in their lives. But as we sow our lives, God is going to give the increase. Now you've gone very quiet, you see.
It's true.
Because, wait a minute. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about the call of God on your life. That's what I'm talking about. You can flit from place to place and avoid the call of God on your life. That's what the devil is tempting people to do all over the church, not just in London, but everywhere. It's like a disease that is afflicting the church, where people go church hopping. And as soon, you know, if anything happens to upset anybody, I'm up and leaving. That's absolute nonsense, isn't it? Because you take a spirit of offense with you wherever you go, whereas God says, listen, if something is wrong, put it right.
That's right. Yeah. Yep.
Forgive. Because if you don't forgive, you will go away in a state of unforgiveness. Because God will not forgive you. You see, all that, those sort of attitudes, just show that people have never faced what it means to belong to church. It means I'm sowing my life to see the vision that God gives us as his body fulfilled. Yeah. Yeah. We're not people that live by preference. No. You see, if God calls us and puts us somewhere, that's where we stay. He's sowing your life into this church.
Yeah.
He has already done that, or you wouldn't be here this morning. You wouldn't be listening to this message. So the sower goes forth to sow his seed. Well, Jesus is the sower. He's taken hold of your life and he's sown you. And he said, now. He's sown good seed, hasn't he? I mean, your life is good seed. Some of you don't look too sure, but I mean, you're not a weed. You sow a weed, and what do you get? More weeds. And it's much easier for weeds to grow than other plants to grow. At least it is in my garden. So, but what do you do with the weeds? You pull the weeds up, but you leave the good seed so that it can reproduce. Now, God doesn't regard you as a weed. Because, you see, weeds oppose the growth that God intends. So those that flit about instead of sowing their lives, they actually are acting more like weeds that are blown on the wind than like good seed that God has planted. The truth is this, that God takes hold of your life and plants you perhaps where you wouldn't choose to be. Because he puts you where he wants you so that he can reproduce and you can bear the fruit that only he can work through your life. So I want you to understand that this whole business of sowing and reaping is not something we can be selective about. We can't say, well, I'll sow my money and hope that I'll get more back. or I'll sow the word in prayer because I need to be healed. God says, this is the principle of my kingdom that is to be evident in every aspect of your life. That you sow the time that you need in prayer in order to become the man and woman of prayer that you need to be, where you know the voice of God and you know the leading of the Holy Spirit. But if you don't give the time to sow in prayer, you won't have much of a relationship with God. And then when the situations of need arise, you are struggling because you don't have that relationship. Now, let's go back to that scripture from James. The Lord gives abundantly and without finding fault. John says, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him whatever we ask because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. Now, what pleases him is not to offend him and grieve him. So we're not going to live with a lifestyle where we are deliberately seeking to grieve God. However, if we do not live in perfection, there are ways in which we do grieve God. And we thank him for his mercy because through that mercy we receive forgiveness. Do you understand that the scripture again and again tells us not to look back? Jesus says, anyone who looks back is not fit for the kingdom. Actually, the scripture says that we're not to examine ourselves. There's only two places in the New Testament where you're told to examine yourself. And in both those situations, what the scripture is talking about is faith. Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. In other words, just look at yourself. Are you trusting Jesus? Is your eye on Jesus? Is your focus on Jesus? Not on yourself. The other place is when Paul is talking in 1 Corinthians 11 about Holy Communion. And he says, examine yourself. But he doesn't say, examine yourself to see if you're worthy to come and receive, because nobody is. No, what he's saying is examine yourself to see whether you really believe that what you are receiving is the body and the blood of Christ. Because many have sick and some have died because they did not discern the body. They didn't really believe what was happening. So they remained sick and some even died because they didn't understand that if you're receiving the body and the blood of Christ, you're receiving the life of Christ himself, for which nothing is impossible. And you see, we saw right at the beginning, didn't we, that when things don't work out in the way that we expect or want or desire, then we tend to look at ourselves and say, what's wrong? What's wrong with me? Well, what's wrong with you is you've got your eyes on yourself instead of keeping your eyes on Jesus. What's gone wrong is that now you've placed, you see, because if your focus is on yourself, you are now actually worshipping yourself. You've put yourself in the place of Jesus. That's why the scripture says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. So how do we get this seed faith that Jesus talks about? How do we get that? Only by keeping our focus on him. We know that he lives within us. We know that we live in him. We know, therefore, that we have that gift of faith. We know that we have his faith within us. So we keep our eyes fixed on him. Now, he knows we've all made mistakes in the past. We've all got things wrong in the past. We probably all prayed thinking that we believed, but We didn't have the faith that measured up to the situation. So God doesn't say, right, listen to the devil because he'll condemn you. No, no, he's the God who gives abundantly without finding fault.
Amen.
He says, never mind about the failure of the past. That's forgiven. Never mind all the things, all the ways in which you have failed to measure up to what I've called you to be and to do. That's all forgiven. That's all under the blood, as we say. Jesus has covered that all with his sacrifice. He's the God who gives abundantly without finding fault.
Amen.
He's not the accuser, you see. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. The devil accuses you and say, well, you haven't received because this is wrong and that is wrong and you're not doing this and you're not doing that. That's not the Holy Spirit.
That's right. Yeah.
That's the accuser.
Amen.
Trying to rob you of your faith. So we're not those who look back and are not fit for the kingdom. We say, no, the old has gone. The new has come. I'm living the new life. I'm living today. I'm not living yesterday. Even yesterday I don't look back at, because yesterday was yesterday. And I can't do anything about yesterday. I'm not to take any thought for tomorrow, Jesus said, because every day has got enough cares of its own. So if my focus is on what God wants to do today, then I'm sowing today.
Amen.
I'm sowing his word, I'm sowing financially, but I'm sowing my life.
That's right. Amen.
Now, I can look back on a long and very fruitful ministry by the grace of God. Many, many thousands of people have been blessed in one way or another. Now, I don't take any credit myself for that. None whatsoever. Because I can't do anything for anyone. It's always the grace of God. But you see, I know that none of that could have happened if I hadn't sown my life. Sometimes I've got things wrong. Sometimes I've messed up. Sometimes I've grieved the Lord. I'm not happy about that. I'm not pleased about that. But I don't look back upon that, because God says, well, I've forgiven all of that. But the point is, you sowed your life. And you haven't dug it up and taken it back to yourself. But you've left it in the ground so that it will produce a mighty harvest. Kingdom faith is part of what has come out of that seed. Wherever kingdom faith exists and wherever people are influenced by whatever happens in kingdom faith, that's all part of what has grown out of the sowing of that seed. Now, when I sowed that seed, I had no idea of what God was going to do with my life. I didn't know that I'd experience revival and see all the wonderful things that I've seen. I didn't know I would be traveling the world preaching the gospel. I didn't know the wide impact. I didn't know that I'd be writing 50 books and more. Didn't know any of that stuff. Because, you see, God does not give us a job description. He doesn't say, look, if I agree to do this and this and this and this with you, will you sow your life? No, no, you see, he says, sow your life and then see what I will do with it. But don't dig it up and take it back to yourself. Because that disrupts the whole growth process. You say, well, can't people be transplanted by the Lord sometimes? Yes, God can send people from one place to another, not just from one church to another, but one place to another. Missionaries go out here, there, and everywhere. What's God doing? He's transplanting them. But you can transplant a tree or a plant, but when you do that, it's not fruitful, so fruitful at first, until the replanting takes. And of course, what you wouldn't do is keep replanting something. But yes, God can sometimes take hold of a life and say, you know, I want you to go to China or there or Sunderland. You'd need faith to go to Sunderland. But you see, God could do that. And because that seed of your life does not belong to you, because Jesus paid the price for it on the cross with his blood, so you are not your own. You were bought with a price, Scripture says. So glorify God with your body. So it's not for you to determine where God is to put you, or even how God is to use you, or the way in which he will reproduce through your life for his kingdom. Years ago, in the church where I was pastor, where we first experienced revival in the early 1970s, I always remember this. One prayer meeting, we were having a prayer meeting one evening. When you're in revival, you pray a lot, because you want to. But anyway, we were having this prayer meeting, and God gave this vision of Jesus welcoming people into heaven. And in this vision, there was a long line of people stretching into the distance. And to get into heaven, each one had to pass Jesus personally. And Jesus was asking each person a question. And his question wasn't, have you got your doctrine right? Or how much water was used in your baptism? The question he asked every person was this: who have you brought with you? What fruit has there been of the sowing of your life? How many others are coming into the kingdom because of you? Now, Jesus doesn't mean that we all become evangelists. Evangelists are embarrassing people to live with. But we are all witnesses.
Yeah. Amen.
I mean, an evangelist, you know, when you think, now we've got to be sensitive here, the evangelist goes jumping in with both feet and upsets everybody and gets a result. While you are thinking about it, the evangelist does it. But the Scripture is clear, we're not all evangelists. Amen?
Amen.
But we are all witnesses. So what Jesus meant is, how many people have been impacted by your love, by your faith, by your witness, by the way you've sown your life, so that they have become part of my kingdom? You see, when Jesus saved you, it wasn't to get you to heaven. He didn't save you to get you to heaven. He saved you to do his will on earth and then go to heaven.
Yeah.
So what matters now is that you fulfill his will and purpose. You sow your life in the way that he desires so that you can become fruitful. Can you manage one more revelation?
Bring it.
The seed can't produce its own fruit. It has to have the right conditions. If a seed could reproduce itself, you see, I could hold that acorn in my hand and whoop, an oak tree would suddenly appear. But no, it has to have the right conditions, the right soil.
Yeah.
That's the right heart, yes? Water. What's the living water in Scripture? The Holy Spirit. The thanksgiving. giving thanks in all circumstances, because this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And light. Without light, no growth. The light of the revelation of the Word of God. So what does God need to see the seed of your life reproduce in the way that he intends? The light of his word, the living water of the Holy Spirit, and a good heart. Because in that parable of the sower, the seed that fell on the path never developed, didn't produce anything. The seed that fell on the rocky soil seemed good at first. Ooh, look, it's growing. But then the pressure came on, the heat of the day, you know, difficulties, opposition, and the person just gave up. Produced nothing. Then there's a seed that appears to be growing up nicely, getting on well. Oh, come on, there's real potential here. But all kinds of other things are allowed to grow in that person's life as well. And those other things, the cares of this world, the riches and cares of this world, Jesus says, those other things choke the good seed so that it doesn't produce. But then, there's the good soil. 30 times, 60 times, 100 times.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Just think, there can be 100 people in the kingdom because you sowed your life?
Yep.
Oh, there's even an Old Testament scripture says the least will produce 1,000. Could it be that 1,000 people will come into the kingdom because of your witness? Because of your prayer? Because of the way you sowed your life? Say, well, I don't see how on earth that could happen. I couldn't see how it could happen. But it's happened.
When
I was a young pastor, and this was before the days of internet and all the stuff that we know now, God said to me, dare you believe that you will be a blessing to every nation on earth? I thought, oh, come on, Lord, Lord, Lord. How on earth? But you know, when God asks you questions like this, you know that he's challenging you. You know, what really are you prepared to believe? And I knew that I had to come to the place of saying, yes, I believe that. But when you're dealing with God, you can't do that in a light-hearted way. You can't do it in a superficial way. I knew I actually had to come to the place where I believed it would be possible. Now it's possible because of the internet. Books are on the Kindle, books are on here, there and everywhere. People can download stuff all over the world, in any nation all over the world. And it's possible. But when God asked me the question, it wasn't possible. There was no visible way of seeing how that could happen. But you see, God knows his business. What vision do you have for your life? Are you sown into the vision of this church? So say, right, we're going to see the vision that God is giving us fulfilled. We're going to see the multiplication. We're going to see the growth. All right, I can see some of you have got a problem with what I'm saying. Because what you would like to do is to sit down with Jesus and cut a deal. You'd like to say, okay, Lord, I'll sow my life into the life of your kingdom, but, I'd like this and this. And I'm not too happy about that, so we'll avoid that. But. Now, let me just tell you, my friends, that sheep follow but goats, but. Are you a goat or a sheep? See, if you're a goat, you say, but Lord, but Lord, but Lord. I still want control. I still want to be in charge. I still want my vision for my life to be fulfilled. Not your vision for my life, but my vision for my life. Those are goats. And according to Jesus, the goats don't produce much. And they didn't get a good press when it came to the Day of Judgment. But the sheep, they're witnesses. They're doing the stuff. They're where Jesus is. Do you realize when you were visiting in prison, you were visiting me. When you were caring for the sick, you were visiting me. You were caring for me. When you were feeding the hungry, you were feeding me. When you were providing water for the thirsty, you were providing for me. Because whatever you do to the least of these, you do for me. You see, the sheep were living lives that were sown so God could use them in whatever ways. They weren't almighty evangelists, but they were all witnesses of the love of God, of the mercy of God, of the truth of God, of the power of God. Listen, you are not an if-only person. Or if only I hadn't done this, or if only I hadn't done that, or if only, if only. Your if-onlys no longer exist. If you've ever messed up, God has forgiven you. And when he forgives you, whatever it is he's forgiven you for no longer exists. It's no longer part of your life. He will not punish you for what he's forgiven, because he bore your punishment on the cross. So you can look to the future with great expectation. Is God the God of the second chance? Yes, every day. Why? His mercy is new every day. He gives you a second chance every day. He says, well, never mind about yesterday. All that I'm concerned about is today. And if you are sowing your life in the way that I ask of you today, then you can be sure I will look after tomorrow. And all your tomorrows. You see, God wants to bring you, my friend, to that place when you meet Jesus face to face. He's going to say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You persevered in faith to the end. You persevered in giving to the end. You persevered in the sowing of your life to the end. And you can be absolutely sure of God's faithfulness. He will ensure that you produce a good harvest. And he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. So what should we do now? Let's just remember that he is the God who gives abundantly every day of your life without finding fault. All you have to do is trust him. And this is why he taught Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. In your weakness, Paul, your faith will fail. But use the mustard seed of my faith and you will see the power of God made perfect in your weakness.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
So when Paul gets the revelation, he says, ah, in that case, I'll boast about my weakness, that the power of God may rest in me. I won't go around saying, I'm a man of strong faith, I've got apostolic faith, God has given me this great calling. No, he said, oh, I'll boast about my weakness. I'm just the one who was the greatest sinner because I persecuted the church. I messed up, I got everything absolutely wrong, but oh, the grace of God is always sufficient for me.
Amen.
For when I am weak, then I'm strong. And you see, what I've discovered about God is this. If you are prepared to be honest with God, you can get just about anything from him that you will ever need. But while you try to con him, you know, oh Lord, I believe, I really believe. He says, no, you don't. I've been listening to your thoughts ever since you woke up this morning. I know what you believe and I know what you don't believe. When people pray like that, you know that they're not actually ministering faith. They're actually trying to encourage their faith. Yeah. I believe. I mean, if you believe, you don't have to go on like that. Because faith is being sure and certain of the outcome. We must stop, otherwise I'll keep talking till Jesus comes again. So let's all stand. Let's all stand. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I know we have a time restraint, but we've got a few minutes now just to process what we've heard. So first of all, let's thank the Lord. Thank him that Christ is in you. That if you're born again, Christ is in you. Not a blessing from Christ, not just an anointing. You have his anointing because Christ means the anointed one. So you have the anointed one. You have the faith of the anointed one somewhere within you. That faith is somewhere there within you because Christ is within you. Hallelujah. So thank the Lord for that. Thank him for that. Thank you, Lord. You have given me that mustard seed of faith. And all I've got to do is sow it. And I will see growth. And I will see a harvest. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if there's stuff you want to put right with God, you can just do that now. You don't have to look back. You just know in your present consciousness, oh Lord, I've failed so often in the past because I haven't really prayed with faith. Oh, there have been so many times when I began with faith but gave up. You might need to say, oh Lord, I've trusted in my faith instead of drawing upon your faith. You might even want to say, Lord, forgive my ignorance that I never realized I could draw on your faith and the gift of faith. So forgive me. You may be one of those that you realize that so often when you prayed, you've dug up the seed. You haven't let it lie and just water it with thanksgiving and the anointing of the Spirit. And you just want to say, Lord, forgive my foolishness. That's no way for seeds to grow. Now I want to operate with the principles of seed faith. That every prayer I pray is like seed that is sown that will produce a harvest.
Amen.
Every prayer, Lord, when I pray with your faith.
Amen.
When I pray with the anointing of your Spirit. Thank you, Father. Some of you may say, oh Lord, forgive me that I haven't been faithful in the sowing of money. And I've struggled financially because I've tried to do things my way instead of your way. I haven't sown when I've given and expected the harvest. Not just for my well-being, but so that I would have more to give. Just know that the Lord, He forgives that, but He's saying, well, okay, start sowing now. This is the point in your life where you begin to sow the word in prayer, you begin to sow the seed of finance. But above all, what is He? Because, you know, He doesn't need your money, He just knows that you need to give money for your sake. So that you're operating by the principles of seed faith. But then what about your life? You say, well, I gave my life to the Lord so many years ago. Yes. But is your life sown? Are you sowing your life where God has put you at this time? Say, Lord, I want to be part of the increase that is going to happen here in this place. I'm not just going to attend the odd meeting when it's convenient for me. I'm sowing my life because I want many other people to come into the kingdom, not just through my personal witness, but through the corporate witness of the church, of the body of Christ in this place. Thank you, Lord, that as I sow my life, you will give back good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. You know, when Jesus said that, he wasn't talking about money. He was talking about what we're talking about this morning. The sowing of your life. He will give back to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Look, don't be surprised if God shakes you. Because sometimes he does shake us, but he shakes us to get more into us. He doesn't shake us to disturb us. He shakes us because, you know, when you're filling something, sometimes you shake it so that the level of what you're putting in goes down. So then there's more room. You know, you're filling a salt cellar, for example, and you shake it because then you get more salt. It's a principle. So shaken together and running over. So yes, Lord, I don't mind you shaking me so that I can be running over. With your anointing, with your blessing, with your life, with your love, with your power, with your authority, with all the good things of your kingdom. So just thank the Lord. Now, just as we finish, is there some particular prayer that you need to pray now? A seed that you're going to sow, you're going to leave in the ground, right? You're believing God's word because it needs the light of God's word, so you're praying according to his word. You're going to keep watering that seed with thanksgiving, and you're sowing it with a good heart. Because you trust the Lord to fulfill that. Whether he does it today, in a week, a month, a year, whatever, he will do it, because that's his promise. But you're sowing it right now. And you can affirm, Lord, I believe you are watching over that word that I've sown today to perform it. Because I'm not just praying my desires, I'm praying your word.
Amen.
I'm praying your promise. I'm praying what you have said. That's good seed. There can't be any better seed than your word. And I'm sowing that seed this morning. And I thank you, Lord, for a rich harvest to come out of that seed. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Rich in every way, not just financially. Rich in the things of the Spirit. Rich in the kind of prayer life you have. Rich in the way in which you impact the lives of other people with the life of Jesus. And then the scripture says, and God is able to make all grace, all of God's grace abound to you. So that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Why? Because you've sown your life. The grace of God can work through you. The grace of God can impact the lives of other people. I believe the Lord is saying, everywhere you go this week, you are going to take the favor of God. You're going to see the favor of God yourself, but you're going to be able to impart the favor of God to other people. As this word begins to be outworked in your life. So we praise you, Lord. Come on, give him thanks now. Thank him for that. Just water that seed with thanksgiving. Jesus says, pray at all times with thanksgiving. Whatever you believe, whatever you ask in prayer, believe it. You have received it, and it will be yours. Water, water that seed with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord. You see it accomplished. You see it done. For your glory, for your praise, for your honor. If it's a personal need in your own life, thank the Lord for the resolution of that situation. You're not going to keep digging up the seed. You've sown the seed concerning that need. Say, Lord, I'm going to continue to thank you. I'm going to continue to speak your word over my life, because I'm not going to dig up that seed and start all over again. Because every time I dig it up, I have to start at the beginning again. And I'm not going to do that anymore. So I praise you, and I bless you. I thank you for that amazing love, that amazing grace that you have for me, for all your loving kindness and patience that you've shown me. But Lord, I also thank you that Christ is in me, the hope of glory. And hope relates to the future. You are going to have a glorious future, not just in heaven, but you're going to have a glorious future here on earth as you put his word into operation. So thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Come on, let's praise him together.
Thank you, Lord.
Just open your mouth and begin to praise him.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. I bless you. I exalt you. I exalt you. For parasadabaria letter bakara sandaria letter. Papara sadabaria letter bakara sandaria. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, just as we finish, can you turn to at least two people and say to them, I've sown the seed of my life for the glory of God, and I'm not going to take it back to myself. Just say that to a couple of people.